Hare Krishna. So thank you for, I'm grateful for this opportunity to serve you in some way. Thank you for inviting me. I beg the mercy of all the Vaishnavas assembled here and those who are learning, who are hearing, feeling myself unqualified, I beg for your mercy so that I can speak something of value. Thank you very much. So we are reading today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Texts 55 to 81. So, yeah. So, I'll read from 55 to 80 and then we can read 81 together. In this verse, the fault of avimshrita videyamsha occurs twice, and the faults of viruddhamati Bhagna karma, Bhagna krama, and punaratta occur once each. Most of us, there may be some Sanskrit scholars in the audience, but most of us won't understand what's going on here because this is Sanskrit grammar, which take years and years to study. So we'll just take the essence and move on. So basically, the chapter is entitled Pastimes of Childhood and Youth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his Kaishor Leela. And here it specially, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attained the age of 11 years, then he started teaching to the students of Navdvip. And so most of these pastimes, they are mentioning the Kaishor Leela of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The glorification of the Ganges, Mahatvam Gangaya, is the principal unknown subject matter in this verse, and the known subject matter is indicated by the word Idam, which has been placed after the unknown. Because you have placed the known subject at the end and that which is unknown at the beginning, the composition is faulty and the meaning of the words has become doubtful. So here especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to Keshav Kashmiri, this Brahmin from Kashmir, who is a Digvijay Pandit. In those days, philosophies used to be debated between pandits, and then whoever lost used to surrender to the one who was the winner of the debate. Like that. They had that procedure and samskar that they used to surrender. So Keshav Kashmiri, of course, you may have heard, he is very proud of his knowledge. He's defeated pandits all over India. And now he is coming to Navdvip. He came to Navdvip. He found Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who wasn't really interested in meeting him. He was just with his associates discussing the topics of the Lord. And suddenly Keshav Kashmiri, who had come to visit the Ganges, saw him and, you know, recognized him that, oh, you are that Nimai Pandit everyone is talking about. So, you know, he first was very sarcastic to him. He insulted him. But then, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a very humble stand. We can see here that the Lord doesn't just preach taranadapi sunichena tarori vasayeshununa. He was humble. He is the Lord of all the universes. And this is Keshav Kashmiri is one insignificant living entity who he could have just ignored, but he's paying him full respects. You know, he never answers him back in the same way that Keshav Kashmiri spoke. So the Lord is very humble. He says, I don't know anything. You know everything. You are the guru, you know. So here, then Keshav Kashmiri speaks the 100 verses of Sanskrit, which he has created in his mind just there and then. They are all new. And within an hour, he quotes 100 verses. after having created them in his mind. He is, of course, the disciple of Mother Saraswati Devi, who is the goddess of learning. So therefore, with her blessings, he has this perfect ability to create, you know, these poetry and recite it. And also he, of course, understands the language. So he's done so. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very humbly says, can you explain these verses? And Keshav Kashmiri is confused as to why he's asking. And he also tells him, oh, you are a newcomer. You won't understand these verses, you know. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him, that's why, because I'm not understanding it. Can you please explain it? You know, he takes the humble position again. So then Keshav Kashmiri, you know, he explains. And first he says, there are no faults in this verse. And there are no, opulences of the verse as well. Nothing good or bad in it that can be said. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu interjects. Well, I mean, nothing good. He is thinking everything is good. Therefore he says there's nothing, you know, that he can say. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he knows everything. He is the master of languages. He knows the all these verses. In fact, by his strength, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddeshe Arjun Tishtati Brahman Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rurani Mayaya. But I was especially referring to the verse where he says, I am the memory and forgetfulness. I give the memory and forgetfulness. So therefore, you know, he knows what Keshav Kashmiri is going to speak. So now, after Keshav Kashmiri says it's all right, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is finding out the faults, the five faults and the five alankaras, which means the things that beautify a verse. Like that. So he is finding faults now, and then he'll talk about the alankaras. Because you have placed the known subject at the end and that which is unknown at the beginning, the composition is faulty and the meaning of the words has become doubtful. Without first mentioning what is known, one should not introduce the unknown. For that which has no solid basis can never be established anywhere. In the word Dvitiya Shri Lakshmir, the second all-opulent goddess of fortune, the quality of being a second Lakshmi is the unknown. In making this compound word, the meaning became secondary and the originally intended meaning was lost. Okay, carrying forward to text 60. Because the word Dvitiya, second, is the unknown, in its combination, in this compound word, the intended meaning of equality with Lakshmi is lost. Not only is there the fault avimsrita videyamsha, but there is also another fault which I shall point out to you. Kindly hear me with great attention. Here is another great fault. You have arranged the word Bhavani Bhatri to your great satisfaction, but this betrays the fault of contradiction. The word Bhavani means the wife of Lord Shiva. But when we mention her husband, one might conclude that she has another husband. It is contradictory to hear that Lord Shiva's wife has another husband. The use of such words in literature creates the fault called viruddhamati krit. So even though we don't understand the Sanskrit, yet it is clear that the way Keshav Kashmiri arranged the verses was that he referred to the husband of Bhavani, who is the wife of Lord Shiva, which might give a meaning to mean that Goddess Bhavani had another husband. So it is Lord Mahadev's, insulting Lord Mahadev basically. That is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Keshav Kashmiri. If someone says, place this charity in the hand of the husband of the wife of the Brahmana, when we hear these contradictory words, we immediately understand that the Brahmana's wife has another husband. The statement by the word Vibhavati, which means flourishes, is complete, qualifying it with the adjective Adbhuta Guna, wonderful activities, creates the fault of redundancy. There is extraordinary alliteration in three lines of the verse, but in one line there is no such alliteration. This is the fault of deviation. Although there are five literary ornaments decorating this verse, the entire verse has been spoilt by these five most faulty presentations. If there are 10 literary ornaments in a verse, but even one faulty expression, the entire verse is nullified. One's beautiful body may be decorated with jewels, but one spot of white leprosy makes the entire body abominable. Purport. The great sage Bharat Muni, an authority on poetic metaphor, has given his opinion in this connection as follows. As one's body, although well decorated with ornaments, is made unfortunate by even one spot of white leprosy, so an entire poem is made useless by a fault, despite alliteration, similes and metaphors. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying it's a waste of time. Shrama evahi kevalam. Because anything that is not connected with Krishna is just useless labor, waste of time. So basically, because of this fault, he says, you know, it's all wrong, whatever you have constructed, created, the poetry is all wrong. Now hear the description of the five literary embellishments. There are two ornaments of sound and three ornaments of meaning. There is a sound ornament of alliteration in three lines, and in the combination of words Shri and Lakshmi, there is the ornament of a tinge of redundancy. In the arrangements of the first line, the letter Ta occurs five times, and the arrangement of the third line repeats the letter Ra five times. In the fourth line, the letter Bha occurs four times. This arrangement of alliteration is a pleasing ornamental use of sounds. Translation. Although the words Shri and Lakshmi convey the same meaning and are therefore almost redundant, they are nevertheless not redundant. Describing Lakshmi as possessed of Shri, opulence, offers a difference in meaning with a tinge of repetition. This is the second ornamental use of words. The use of Lakshmi, Eva, like Lakshmi, manifests the ornament of meaning called Upama, analogy. There is also the further ornament of meaning called Virodha Abhasa, or a contradictory indication. Everyone knows that lotus flowers grow in the waters of the Ganges. But to say that the Ganges takes birth from a lotus flower seems extremely contradictory. The existence of Mother Ganges begins from the lotus feet of the Lord. Although this statement that water comes from a lotus flower is a contradiction in connection with Lord Vishnu, it is a great wonder. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In this birth of the Ganges, by the inconceivable potency of the Lord, there is no contradiction, although it appears contradictory. Purport. The central point of all Vaishnava philosophy is to accept the inconceivable potency of Lord Vishnu. What sometimes appears contradictory from a material viewpoint is understandable in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he can perform contradictory activities by dint of his inconceivable potencies. Modern scientists are puzzled. They cannot even explain how such a large quantity of chemicals has formed the atmosphere. Scientists explain that water is a combination of hydrogen and oxygen. But when asked where such a large quantity of hydrogen and oxygen came from and how they combined to manufacture the great oceans and seas, they cannot answer, because they are atheists who will not accept that everything comes from life. Their thesis is that life comes from matter. Where do all these chemicals come from? The answer is that they are produced by the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Living entities are part of the Supreme Godhead, and from their bodies come many chemicals. For example, the lemon tree is a living entity that produces many lemons, and within each lemon is a great deal of citric acid. Therefore, if even an insignificant living entity who is but a part of the Supreme Lord can produce so much of a chemical, how much potency there must be in the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Scientists cannot perfectly explain where the chemicals of the world are manufactured, but one can explain this perfectly by accepting the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Lord. There is no reason for denying this argument, since there are potencies in the living entities who are examples of the Personality of Godhead. How much potency there must be in the Supreme Godhead Himself. As described in the Vedas, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam, He is the chief eternal of all eternals and the chief living entity among all living entities. Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. Unfortunately, atheistic science will not accept that matter comes from life. Scientists insist upon their illogical and foolish theory that life comes from matter, although this is quite impossible. They cannot prove in their laboratories that matter can produce life. Yet there are thousands and thousands of examples illustrating that matter comes from life. Therefore, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that as soon as one accepts the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no great philosopher or scientist can put forward any thesis to contradict the Lord's power. This is expressed in the following Sanskrit word. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam सावधूतम परिजना सहितम कृष्ण चैतन्य देवम श्री राधा कृष्ण पदान सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितमश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांच कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा. So we can see that here everything is happening in the by the inconceivable potency of the Lord. And that is the essence of this verse and the previous verses. So we can see, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjana. Krishna says that one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not take birth again in this material world, but comes back home to him. So, therefore, Krishna's pastimes, they are all divya, he says, divine. And therefore, they are inconceivable. They are so inconceivable that Krishna's expansion, Balram, whose expansion is Anantashesha, he has been chanting Krishna's glory. Ananta means without end. In strength, spiritual strength, as well in his activities. So, Ananta Dev has been chanting Krishna's glory since time immemorial. And it seems he is never going to finish. Because it continues on and on and on. Because everything, you know, about Krishna is so inconceivable that even Ananta Dev doesn't have words to concisely put it into something. So if Ananta Dev, Lord Ananta Dev can't do it, what to speak of an insignificant living entity? But Krishna says that that is available to the insignificant living entity as soon as he takes shelter of a spiritual master. Because the spiritual master is coming in the line of disciplic succession, and he has the potency given by the Lord to understand the inconceivable. Our whole philosophy is achintya bheda bheda tattva, inconceivable oneness and difference with the Lord. We are qualitatively the same as the Lord. Our spirit soul is of the quality of the Lord, but quantitatively we are very minuscule, and that too bound by our own karma, using which the material energy places obstacles in our path to any advancement in any field that we would like to achieve. So therefore, you know, we can see that even Krishna, when they say that Krishna can't describe his own glories, because his glories are increasing all the time. When a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, can Krishna create a stone that he can't lift? Krishna Prabhupada said yes, because that disciple wanted to say, oh, he can't lift. So, you know, Krishna also is limited. But the thing was, Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna can create a stone which he can't lift, but then he will lift it. Because Krishna's potencies are increasing all the time. His beauty, his energies, everything is increasing all the time. So, and that can't be comprehended by this minuscule living entity's small mind and intelligence. Because to think beyond the mind, like these days, you know, rational thinking, bringing every thing down to rational thinking. But we can see what the world has come to by rational thinking. Yeah? In the olden days, we know the whole world, Christopher Columbus certainly, but scholars from Japan, you know, all these Egyptian civilizations, you know, civilizations that we know of, the Ottoman Turks civilization, they used to all go to India, the land of Bharatvarsh. And why they went there? Because there was not just wisdom. There was a practical exhibition that whatever was practiced that could find its practical meaning in the everyday life of a person. And not only fulfill his needs, but also give him opulences, and also give him satisfaction and fulfillment. So therefore, all the scholars and everyone, they used to, of course, everyone's, Christopher Columbus went because he wanted money. British went because they wanted money. The English went because they wanted money. Everyone wanted money from India. And therefore, you know, when Prabhupada came to Britain, they asked him, you know, like, why have you come here? And he says, I've come to give you that which you have forgotten, which you didn't take when you came to India. In fact, the English were the ones who completely annihilated this Vedic wisdom, which was the, because they knew it was the backbone of the self-esteem and the opulence of the Indians. So therefore, all over the world, everyone went to India to study. There were great universities like Nalanda, Mohenjo-Daro civilization. They all went there to study. And India was opulent. People weren't working, you know, 12 hours a day, 16 hours a day, 14 hours a day as they do today. They were not, you know, they were leading ordinary lives. But they were extremely rich. You know, Prabhupada mentions Lord Macaulay's letter to the British Parliament, where he clearly describes the opulence of the Indians. You know, doors were left open, no one was stealing because everyone had enough. They had even more. So therefore, it showed that the Vedic wisdom which is there in the scriptures, it had practical, you know, application. And when practically applied, as Prabhupada wanted, and he showed while he was on the planet, you know, he went to temples and devotees who were really struggling, you know, they suddenly forgot, you know, that they were struggling, and everything was perfect wherever Prabhupada went. So Prabhupada was proving that, you know, you become a devotee and everything will come to you. Krishna will add everything, as he has done. Prabhupada didn't say, oh, it is just with me. It is with everyone. And we can see that the modern civilization, which tries to encapsulate the inconceivability of the Vedic wisdom into practicality, into what they think, into their rational thought, and they apply it, it has resulted in chaos. Not only chaos, but even they are confused. The rich and the famous and the scientists are all confused as to, you know, what is it about the world. Of course, some of them know it, but they don't want to reveal it because they have a different game plan. The ones that were truthful, like Einstein, you know, he clearly admitted that after studying math, science and everything and applying it and with all these discoveries and all and understanding this universe, one can only come to the final conclusion that there is a supreme intelligence which is running everything in this world. And that intelligence, whether you call it God, universe, nature, whatever it is, you know, it's very powerful and its power has to be recognized. Similarly, Nikola Tesla, who, you know, is endowed with each and every invention of today's. In fact, he didn't even bother who stole his inventions and discoveries and put their names and registered in their names. You know, he was just interested in bringing free electricity to the people. Because he knew it was God's energy. He believed in God. And he just wanted to serve the Lord by serving fellow humanity, by providing them with the exhibition of the energies of the Lord, which he did. The alternating current that is we are using centuries for, that has come from him. So we can see that where modern science recognizes the greatness of God and utilizes it for serving humanity without an eye on the results, without an eye on the profit, adoration, distinction, then everything goes okay. But when that is forgotten, when science is for the sake of science, like today it is used for producing, mass producing things that, you know, that people don't need. But through advertising you create a need and sell it to them. So today's science has become, you know, just another tool in the hands of powerful businessmen. You know, who are just using science to produce more goods and sell it to the people. So whatever is said here, Prabhupada, you know, explains in the purport. We can see that, how can we understand, you know, the sun? We can see that it looks like 1 foot in diameter. But 101,300,000 Earths can fit into that sun. And that's inconceivable. We can study it, but it's inconceivable. So ordinary things are inconceivable to us. What to speak of the person who produces it? The Brahman Samhita tells us that, you know, our universe is huge. In its diameter, it's 96 billion light years in diameter. You know, they can't even quantify in kilometers or miles. They are talking about light years. It is that big. And the trillions of such universes, they are coming from a pore of Lord Mahavishnu. Which means, I mean, how big will Mahavishnu be in size? Inconceivable. And yet then Krishna comes. And through his pastimes he eats a little bit of dirt. And then Lord Balaram, along with the friends, goes to Yashoda Mai and says, he ate dirt. And he says, no, Mother, I didn't. So of course, Mother Yashoda says, even Balaram is saying, and he never lies. He's trying to protect you. So open your mouth, I want to see. And Krishna opens, and she can see trillions of universes in the body of the Lord. Krishna says, everything is in me, although I am not in them. He is in every atom as well. Andantarastam, Paramanu Chayantarastam. So Krishna's got it stitched up in every way we can see. There's no escape. Even the atheist, when they die, they have to meet a Vaishnava, Yamaraj. Krishna's arranged it in such nice way, you know. So we can see that through these pastimes, you know, a simple devotee, an ordinary devotee, therefore, you know, Krishna says surrender. Because this conceivability, it can't become by our own achievement. No matter how much we study. Even if we study the scriptures, it won't make us a scholar. Because if Krishna wants, Krishna can give knowledge to even a stupid fool. And we can see that has happened in the scriptures. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy on the South Indian Brahmana, who was laughed at by other Brahmanas, who were, you know, completely studied in all scriptures, but they didn't get the mercy of the Lord. What they got was the, you know, accolades of other Brahmanas and other people thinking them, you know, oh, how great are these because they can recite. But they didn't get the mercy of the Lord. And in the end, the main goal of life is to get the mercy of the Lord. The whole process that is to be followed, whether in Krishna consciousness or the processes that come up to it, up the yoga ladder, it is all to get the mercy of the Lord. And that is not attained, Krishna says clearly, by scholarship, austerities, this, that and the other. It just comes by simply trying to win the heart of the Lord. And therefore, bhakti, you know, contains everything within it. Because one who has captured the heart of the Lord, then the Lord fulfills, you know, fills his heart and his mind and whatever there is to be done. And then, you know, we can see the examples given of Jagai and Mada, even the most abominable, you know, supposedly abominable people, got the highest because they got mercy of the representation of the munificence of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. And therefore, Prabhupada said that our job is just to, you know, to accumulate that mercy by the process and then give that mercy to others. We have to become the via medium like Lord Nityananda Prabhu. In this example also we can see that Keshav Kashmiri, he was a scholar and he was worshipping the demigoddess. And he, at that time, Bharatvarsh was much bigger than it is today. Even at that time, there was no partition. So, India was quite big. And he worshipped, and he was Digvijay. He had won everyone. But when it came to the devotee of the Lord, I mean, form of the devotee of the Lord himself came as his devotee. He could not. So, Krishna, whatever he says in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, kamastaste hita jnana bhajante anya devata. You know, those who are, you know, craving for materialistic achievements, they worship the demigods. And Keshav Kashmiri got it. He got the learning. But that was simply cut in one moment by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hiranyakashipu had all the three universes, including the demigods at his beck and call. But the Lord came as Narasimhadeva and finished it all. So therefore, Krishna says that, you know, even though you have desires, come to me. Akama sarva kamova, moksha kama udhari dite virena bhakti yogena, yajeta purusham param. That everything can be satisfied but just taking shelter of him. So, we can see that the mercy, you know, he was thinking that I am the Lord Saraswati's, you know, upasak, a devotee, so everything will be possible for me. But it wasn't. And so, you know, the goddess of learning, you know, and the goddess of fortune used to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Priya. So ultimately we know Sarva Dharman Parityajya, taking shelter of Lord is the only way, the only way, the only way. And we have been given the highest, the Yuga Dharma. And what to speak of that? It is the month of Kartik. And what to speak of month of Kartik? Today is Ramada Ekadashi in the month of Kartik. So I wish you all the best in following the process. Let us thank Srila Prabhupada for what he has given us. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.